बन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो चैप्टर 13 वर्स 3। क्षेत्रज्ञं चापि मां वेद्धि सर्वक्षेत्रेषु भारत, क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञोर ज्ञानम् यत्तत् ज्ञानम् मतं मम। क्षेत्रज्ञं चापि मां वेद्धि सर्वक्षेत्रेषु भारत, क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञोर ज्ञानम् यत्तत् ज्ञानम् मतं मम। क्षेत्रज्ञं चापि मां वेद्धि सर्वक्षेत्रेषु भारत, क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञोर ज्ञानम् यत्तत् ज्ञानम् मतं मम। टेक्स्ट 4। तत्क्षेत्रं यच्च याद्रक्ष यद्विकारि यतश्च यत् स च यो यत्प्रभावश्च तत्समासेन मे शृणु। तत्क्षेत्रं यच्च याद्रक्ष यद्विकारि यतश्च यत् स च यो यत्प्रभावश्च तत्समासेन मे शृणु। तत्क्षेत्रं यच्च याद्रक्ष यद्विकारि यतश्च यत् स च यो यत्प्रभावश्च तत्समासेन मे शृणु। क्षेत्रज्ञं चापि मां वेद्धि सर्वक्षेत्रेषु भारत, क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञोर ज्ञानम् यत्तत् ज्ञानम् मतं मम। तत्क्षेत्रं यच्च याद्रक्ष यद्विकारि यतश्च यत् स च यो यत्प्रभावश्च तत्समासेन मे शृणु। क्षेत्रज्ञानं च मां वेद्धि सर्वक्षेत्रेषु भारत, क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञोर ज्ञानम् यत्तत् ज्ञानम् मतं मम। क्षेत्रं यच्च याद्रक्ष यद्विकारि यतश्च यत् स च यो यत्प्रभावश्च तत्समासेन मे शृणु। क्षेत्रज्ञं चापि मां वेद्धि सर्वक्षेत्रेषु भारत, क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञोर्ज्ञानम् यत् यत् ज्ञानं मतं मम। प्रसेतम तिथि याद्रच यद विकारी यतश्च यत् सचयो यत् प्रभावश्च तत्समासेन मे शृणु क्षेत्रज्ञं चापि मा विद्धि क्षेत्रेषु भारत क्षेत्रक्षेत्रज्ञोर्ज्ञानम् यत् ज्ञानम् मतम् मम तत्क्षेत्रम् यच्च याद्रक्ष यद्विकारी यतश्च यत् स च यो यत्प्रभावश्च तत्समासेन मे शृणु क्षेत्रज्ञं चापि मां विद्धि सर्वक्षेत्रेषु भारत क्षेत्रक्षेत्रज्ञयोर्ज्ञानम् यत्तज्ज्ञानम् मतम् मम तत्क्षेत्रम् यच्च याद्रक्ष यद्विकारी यतश्च यत् स च यो यत्प्रभावश्च तत्समासेन मे शृणु Anybody else? Okay, so text 3. Kshetrajnyam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetrajnyor jnanam yatta jnanam matam mama. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर 13 चैप्टर 3 इज अ लॉन्ग परपोर्ट सो वी विल रीड द परपोर्ट फॉर चैप्टर दिस टेक्स्ट 4 वी आर रनिंग शॉर्ट ऑफ Time. So I'll read the translation of both the verses and then read the purport of text 4. Ocean of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. Text 4. Now please hear my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted, what its changes are, whence it is produced, and who that knower of the field of activities is, and what his influences are. Translation responsibly, you can repeat after me. Ocean of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. Text 4. Now please hear my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted, what its changes are, whence it is produced, who that knower of the field of activities is, and what his influences are. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is describing the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities in their constitutional positions. One has to know how this body is constituted. The materials of which this body is made, under whose control this body is working, and how the changes are taking place. where from the changes are coming, what the causes are, and what the reasons are, what the ultimate goal of the individual soul is, and what the actual form of the individual soul is. One should also know the distinction between the individual living soul and the super soul, their different influences, their potentials, etc. One just has to understand this Bhagavad Gita directly from the description given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all this will be clarified. But one should be careful not to consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every body to be one with the individual soul, the jiva. This is something like equating the potent and the impotent. So, this chapter 13, the nature, the enjoyer, and the consciousness. So this chapter, the Lord, it starts from Arjuna. Arjuna is asking 6 questions in the first verse, and then Lord will be replying to those questions in the verses to come. Just to refresh our memories from the last Friday, actually when I was coming today, I was thinking like this is, we do maybe one verse every week, and with 700 verses, how many years is going to take to finish this Bhagavad Gita? So it's very, very important that we read at home. This is like on Friday, we read one verse. It's like to give you some flavor or some glimpse or some trailer of the what it is. And then it's very important that you go and read at home. Otherwise, it's going to take 14 years with one verse a week. And there are some programs which are cancelled in a year. Maybe some program we are covering more than one verse, but at the same time we cancel some of the programs. So it's very, very important that we read at home. And once we talk about 700 verses, Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. So like this lifetime is not enough if it go with this speed. So it's very, very important. So this chapter 13, Arjuna is asking the questions, what is nature? And he wants to know more about the nature, the enjoyer, who is the enjoyer, what is the field, and what is the knower of the field, who is the knower of the field, and what is knowledge, and what is the object of knowledge. These are 6 questions Arjuna is inquiring from the Lord. The Lord started replying in the verse 2, and he starts with, he says, O son of Kunti, this body is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. So field is like kshetra, this body is the field. And the knower of the field, who knows this body, is called the knower of the field. He continues and says, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. So here he is trying to say, I am also the knower in all the bodies. I am also the knower means, there is some other knower, and then I am also the knower of all the bodies. In our body, we have individual soul, jiva, which is the knower of the body. Our soul knows about this field of activity, this field about our body. And other than our individual soul, we have the super soul, the Paramatma sitting in our heart. He, and Krishna is saying here, I am also the knower of the body. So he is also the knower of the body. So what is the difference between the two knowers, one the individual soul and the super soul. But starting from chapter 13 to 18, we are going to understand more and more of the relationship between Jiva, the Lord, and this body. That's what it is all about. In all these verses, Krishna is talking about these three things mainly. So what is the difference between the individual soul and the super soul? And Krishna is saying they both are the knower of this body. The Supreme Lord, the super soul, is present in all the bodies. And the individual soul knows about this body only, about our body only, how it acts, how it works. And this soul, the individual soul, is pervaded in the whole body in the form of consciousness. That is, we call it consciousness. So this soul, it knows about the individual body, but the Lord, He knows about all the bodies. Sarvasya chaham hirdi sannivishto matta ismati jnanam apohanam cha vedesu sarvair ahameyo vedyo vedant krid ved videva chaham. Sarvasya chaham hirdi sannivishto. The Lord says, I am present, I am situated in the heart of all the living entities. Ishvara sarabhutani hirdesa trishtati Arjuna. So Lord, in the form of Paramatma, in His expansion as Paramatma, is present in all the heart of all the living entities. Matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha. He says, the remembrance and the forgetfulness, everything comes from me. And this forgetfulness is the cause of all the miseries, all the problems, all the sufferings in this world. We have forgotten our relationship with the Supreme Lord. It's like Prabhupada gives that example of a boy who has lost his parents. He's wandering here and there, not knowing who their parents are and how to go back to them. And he is begging in the streets. He does not know that he is the son or the daughter of such a wealthy and powerful father. We are like the same lost children. The moment we realize that who my father is, the moment we understand that Krishna is my real father, all our sufferings will come to an end. We don't have to hanker and lament for small these material things. You see this matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha. I mean, the forgetfulness comes from Krishna. And we say the forgetfulness is the root cause of all the problems or all the sufferings what we are facing in this material world. And that comes from Krishna. Why Krishna wants us so that we forget Him. When we want to enjoy this material world, Krishna is sitting in our heart. He says, okay, you want to enjoy? Go ahead and enjoy. He's waiting for you to turn your face up towards Him. The whole mission of His life is to take us back to Godhead, back to home. So this forgetfulness, it's very, very dangerous. And the whole program, what we have in this Friday program, We try to remind ourselves that we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna, and we are trying to revive that relationship. That is all, that is this program is all about. There was a person in UK, in London. He was traveling in a train. I'm not sure if he was a devotee, but this story was told to me by a devotee. So I don't remember if that person was a devotee or no, but this he was traveling in the London tubes. And one day what happened, like the train stopped and he was not holding any bars, and like her head hit a rod and he forgot everything. He lost his memory. He lost his memory and he did not know who he is, what is his name, and he did not know anything. And finally, when he was like unconscious, when he got up, he was in Birmingham, somewhere in Birmingham, in the train yard or somewhere. He got up, but he did not know where to go, what to do, who he was. And then he started working in a local, some store. He found some job and he started working on some hourly job, because he did not know what to do. It's a true story. It's a real story. Only thing, I am not sure whether this person was a devotee or he was like just normal person. He was working for a few months there. And all of a sudden he was working in a store as a helper and helping them in transporting the goods here and there. Now one day he was carrying some potato box. Or potato box fell down on his head and again got his memory back. So he got some shock from that potato box and he got his memory back. When he got his memory back, he came back to and met his family and he told them all the story. So the shock he got from the potato bag, we are trying to give that shock here in the Friday program, so that we get our memory back. So this is that's what happens. Forgetfulness is the root cause of all the problems. So Krishna says here that I'm also the knower in all the bodies. So he says the difference between you and me is, he's telling Arjun, the difference between you and me is, I know about all the bodies, about all the living entities, but you know about your own body only. The individual soul knows about its own body only. That is what, there is a verse I don't remember the verse, third or fourth chapter, when Krishna is telling Arjuna, you know about your this life only. I know about all your past lives till date. So that's the difference between us and Krishna. There are three things: the field of activity, the field, this body, the knower of this body, which is the soul and the super soul. And Prabhupada explains this. He says that this is the field of activity, and then we have the soul, which is like occupier of this body. We are the user, we are occupying this, and we are doing all the actions. The field of activity is all occupied by us. And then we have the owner of the body, which is the Supreme Lord. It's like a house. In a house, the tenant, house is the field of activity. The tenant is the occupier. And the landlord is the owner of the house. So that is how this is related. It's same thing like a farmer. Farmer has got a land, a farm, and he's working on it. So he is the occupier of that land, but the land belongs to who the real landlord or the king is. So that's the relationship between the soul, super soul, and this body. Krishna, super soul or Krishna is there in our heart. When he's sitting, it is explained in the latter verses, the Upadrashta cha Anumanta cha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. Krishna is sitting in our heart. And what he does, Upadrashta cha Anumanta cha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara, Paramatmeti Chapiyukto Dehino Asmin Purusha Para. See, in this body, Dehino Asmin Purusha Para, there is another transcendental enjoyer who is the Supreme Lord. And what he does? Upadrashta cha Anumanta cha. He is Upadrashta. He is overseeing all our activities. He is sitting here. He is watching everything. Whatever we do, he is watching. We may think that nobody is watching, but he is there. He is watching. And he was there with us when we had a body of a worm in a stool. He was still with us in the form of super soul sitting in our heart. And when we have this body, he is still with us. And he is watching all our activities. He is witnessing. Upadrashta, he is overseeing, supervising. Anumanta, and he is permitter. He gives you the permission. When he gives the permission, why do we do the wrong things? It's like when your child is asking for chocolate. Or maybe he has cold and he is asking for some soda or cold drink. You don't want to give him, that is not good for him. But he keeps on asking, and then situation stage comes, okay, you do whatever, and then you are responsible for what you do. Right? It more happens when the kids, they grow up, become like a teenage, then you can't forcefully ask them to accept something. Then finally you say, okay, you do whatever you want to do. You have the options, you selected the option, then you are responsible for the results. Same thing like here, the Paramatma is sitting here. And sometimes we say like, this is Mari Antaratma Kaharija Asani Karna Chahiye. That is what? Paramatma is telling you not to do this. But you say, no, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. Then our mind overpowers the intelligence and we do it. And Lord says, okay, this is your decision. I told you not to do it. You are doing it. You are responsible for the reactions, for whatever it is. So that is Upadrashta cha Anumanta cha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. So he is the Supreme Lord. The way it has been explained in our, we are talking about the relationship between the soul, super soul and this body. We are trying to understand this relationship. The way it is explained in our Upanishads, this body is like a tree, as Prashant Prabhu explained in the last class. And there are two birds, they are sitting on the tree. And one bird is eating fruit, another bird is just witnessing the bird who is eating fruits. The bird who is eating fruit is the individual soul. And the bird who is watching or witnessing is the super soul, is the Lord, Paramatma. So when we have, when the bird has good fruits, she is enjoying. When she has bad fruit or sour fruit, she is suffering. But Lord is still there. He is watching and he is waiting for her to turn her face, her or his face towards him. So that is how it has been explained. So there are two knowers of this field or this body, one is soul and the other is super soul. Then we talk about who. So this was, and Krishna says here that to know about the know body and the knowers of the body is what is called knowledge. The knowledge is to know about this body and knowers of the body. Knowers of the body is the soul and the super soul. That is the knowledge. The whole knowledge what we get from the scriptures is all about knowing the soul, super soul, and the body. And Prabhupada, in the verse we read the purport, in the last he is writing, one should understand this Bhagavad Gita directly from the description given by the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all this will be clarified. All this knowledge will be clarified if we try to understand from our scriptures, from the description given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. It's very, very important how we receive the knowledge. It is explained that there are three ways to receive a knowledge, three methods to understand about God, to receive the knowledge. And that is the one Prabhupada is writing here to understand from Krishna himself. Krishna is not here, but Krishna's, the scriptures are the sound representation of Krishna, of the Lord. So there are three methods of receiving the knowledge, any knowledge, whether it's material or spiritual. We have talked about in previous classes, and those three methods are the knowledge through direct perception. This is called pratyaksha pramana. Pratyaksha pramana, then anuman pramana, by speculation. And the third is sabda pramana. Sabda pramana is hearing from the authorities, hearing from our acharyas, our scriptures. That is called sabda pramana. So when we say pratyaksha pramana, it's a direct sense perception. We use our senses to understand, and then that is how we learn. It's like you want to know about a gulab jamun, right? You take a gulab jamun, you touch it, you feel it, it's soft, it's black in color, you see from your eyes, and then you try to eat it. When you eat it, then you know how it tastes, how it looks like, how it feels like, how it tastes like. Then how you acquire the knowledge about the gulab jamun? That's called pratyaksha pramana. So anything you say, I haven't seen, so I can't believe it. So you want to see it. You want to use your senses to acquire that knowledge. But is that the right way of acquiring the knowledge? And if not, why not? It is explained in our scriptures, all living entities have got four basic defects. Right? Everybody, all the living entities. And those four defects are? We have imperfect senses. We have propensity to cheat and get cheated. We are under illusion. And what is the fourth one? No. This is the four basic defects in all the living entities, which are like born defects, right? What is the fourth one? Tamal Prabhu, you remember the fourth one? We have a tendency to make mistakes, right? Thank you, Prabhu. So, our senses are defective. When we say our senses are defective, it means all our senses are limited. Right? We say our ears can hear only the frequencies from 20 to 20,000 hertz. It does not mean that there are no frequencies below 20 and above 20,000. But we are not able to listen. We are not able to hear them. That's why when a dog has got more, he can hear wider range of frequencies. And that's why whenever you have, like in India, they bring the dog. Like, you know, whenever you have terrorist activity or some theft or something, they bring the dog. And he smells, his smell is very, very strong. He smells and he can tell where the culprit has gone. So our senses are limited. Our eyesight is limited. We cannot see anything what is beyond this wall. And sometimes, not only that, we read the specs and the glasses to read what is 1 foot away from our eyes. So our senses are defective. Our senses are not perfect. All our senses. So when our senses are defective, how can we, something, the knowledge which we acquire by using our senses will be perfect? It won't be. Right? How can it be perfect? So whatever we acquire, whatever knowledge we acquire through direct perception, it has its own limitation. Because our senses are defective, we have tendency to make mistakes. And you know, like, this, all these scientists, the Parikshit Prabhu was giving that example, like, you know, this is that when he did his PhD, he was writing his PhD thesis, and he wrote, like, you know, I did this experiment, and this was the result, so this, when we do this, this happens. His guide, professor, told him, no, you just change everything, all right, this may happen. And if the whole thesis, instead of writing this happens, he changed it to like, no, when you do this to this, this may happen. Because they are not sure, tomorrow somebody else will do some other research and prove you wrong. So you want to leave that space open, so that even if your thesis is proved wrong, you are okay. You have said it may happen like this. They haven't said it happens like this. Although he experimented that. So everything like that. So when Einstein came out with the theory of relativity, and what is theory of relativity? In very, very simple terms, theory of relativity is when something moves with the speed of light, the time stops. The fourth dimension, the time, it stops. So Newton was proved wrong, whatever Newton did. Right? So our senses are defective. We said that Darwin, what Darwin did, he speculated all along. Then we have this electron, proton and neutron. There was a time when we used to say atom is the smallest particle. Right? Then from atom came electron, proton, neutron. And now there is something smaller than electron. What do they call it? Some other electron. Some other electron like. So everything, nothing is perfect. Everything is changing. They come out with the medicines, and they say after like 10 years we were using this medicine for our arthritis and it was doing wonders, great results, FDA approved, and after 10 years somebody sues them. Tell them, no, I have got this and side effects. It happened with Vioxx, right? It was Vioxx. It happened with so many medicines. So all this material knowledge, whatever we acquire through this direct sense perception, is not the perfect knowledge. And why it is not perfect? We know that. The second is Anuman Praman. Anuman Praman is by speculation. We see like, okay, this A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then A must be equal to C. That is like we conclude. We watch something, we do some of our, like, speculate on it, and just we say, okay, then it must be like this. There's a Dr. Frog story. Everybody knows Dr. Frog story? That Prabhupada uses that story very often. There was a frog who lives in a well. And he's the leader of all the frogs who are living in the well. And he is like most intelligent, and he is the leader of all the frogs, and he is leading them. He is most knowledgeable and most intelligent. And he is visited by his friend who comes from the sea. A frog who was living in the sea, and he comes to meet him. And they are talking. Say, it's like I am coming from sea, and it's very big. The frog was living in a well. So how big it is? This big? No. It's too big. How much big? It's this big. It cannot be bigger than this well. No, it's too big than bigger than this well. So this frog, his exposure it to that well only. He can speculate to that extent only. He never seen outside what is there outside the well. How does a sea look like? So he can see the sea in terms of the size of the well. So that is his limit. There another example, like there was one medical conference. In medical conference, all the doctors were there. There was a break time, and they were all standing in the lobby having coffee. There was one person who was limping and walking. When he was limping and walking, so the doctors, they were like orthopedists. I said, like, yeah, there's some so-and-so bone goes like this, and it happens like this. Then person has problem, and he walks like this. He gave his reasoning. So I'm sure he has this problem. Okay? There is one neurologist. He says, no, there's like when you have, there's some nerve in the brain, and when you have a stroke or somehow this nerve is damaged, that stops sending signals to your leg, and you get something similar to what you get paralysis or polio. So that's why he's limping. I'm sure he has this problem. So everybody was like speculating what problem he can have. Then they said, okay, let us go to him and find out what problem he has. They go to him. They ask him, Mr. So-and-so, what problem you have? You are not walking properly. You are limping. He said, I have no problem. My sandal is broken, so that's why I am limping. I have no problem. So that's the danger with the speculation. What Darwin did? Darwin did nothing. He just roamed around all the world, and he says, okay, like why the giraffe has got long neck? Where all the grass was over, and they have to start eating from the trees, and that's how they got their neck got long. He gave a lot like stupid explanation, and people believed him because there was nobody else to counter him. And this is all speculation. He did not do an experiment. He did not do anything. This was all speculation. And his theory proved wrong now. So both these methods are not the right methods to receive or acquire the knowledge. The third is sabda pramana. Sabda pramana is hearing from the authorities. And that is hearing from the authorities is like a child. Child wants to know who is mother is or father is. If child wants to know who his mother is, the father is the right authority to tell him who his mother is. The child has to go to father and ask him who my mother is, and father can tell him correctly who the mother is. There is no other way. We can't speculate. We can't do anything. So that is how a knowledge about the God should be acquired. We hear from, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, we hear from our scriptures, evam parampara praptim imam rajarshyo vidu sa kalane metta yogo nashta parantapa. That all this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has been coming. It's coming from in the disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptim. And it was lost in between, so I have Again, 5,000 years back, I gave this knowledge again, so to re-establish it. We have the whole disciplic succession, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. So we should hear from them. We should hear from the right person. When we talk about the knowledge coming in the disciplic succession, nobody is supposed to add or delete anything but to pass on the knowledge as it is. I'm sitting here, I'm not talking anything on my own, whatever I have read from our acharyas, whatever they have written or whatever read from our scriptures, I'm just repeating the same thing. I'm not supposed to add or delete anything or add, because we all know our senses are not perfect. So whatever we speculate is not going to be perfect. So our job is to give the knowledge as it is. And that is how we should acquire the knowledge about the God. And Prabhupada has been insisting, like emphasizing this again and again and again and again many times. And he again did it in this verse. So, Krishna says, Tat Kshetram Yaccha Yadrakcha. There are different Tat Kshetram. Tat Kshetram means that body. There are different kinds of bodies. There are 8.4 million bodies. 8.4 million different bodies. Right? We have 8.4 million different states. And out of 8.4 million, 400,000 are the human beings. Us. All 400,000 are not in our Earth planet. They are in different planets and different universes and like all around. We may have maybe few, not maybe 100 also. We may count like Chinese and American and Caucasians and Asians, like how many you can count? All others 400,000 is 400,000 different human species. They are in different planets and different universes. The Mahavishnu, when he breathes, millions and billions and billions of universes come out of the pores of his body. And they all these planets have got a different environment, different atmosphere, and they all have living entities in them. Science may not believe that we have living entities in the sun and the moon because they did not find anything. But our scriptures say we have the living entities in all these planets. And those living entities, like the living entities who live on the sun, their body is a fiery body. It's made so that they can tolerate the high temperatures or high heat there. It's really very amazing. The sun, the distance between the sun and earth is like 54 million or trillion miles or kilometers. I don't remember exact figure. But it is said if sun is millions and billions of miles away from the earth, but if it is 1 meter closer to earth, 1 meter. When you're talking about millions and billions of miles, you're talking about 1 meter. If it's just 1 meter closer to earth, earth's temperature will rise by a few degrees. And if it is just 1 kilometer closer to earth, there will be no life on the earth. How perfect is the God's creation? There will be no life on the earth if it is just few, like I think it's a couple of kilometers closer to earth. So this is the perfect, the kind of weather, the kind of temperature we see on this planet, just because of the God's, this higher arrangement made the creation of the God. This earth is rotating and at the same time revolving. It's rotating on its axis, at the same time it's revolving also around the sun. Do we feel it? We are sitting here, do we have to worry about it? Do you have any anxiety about it? If it stops, what is going to happen? If it starts spinning faster, what's going to happen? When we are driving, we have to worry about all those things. We don't have to worry about the earth is going to stop, then what we are going to do? We are sitting here on Friday evening, tomorrow what's going to happen? Whether earth is going slower or faster. So this is perfect arrangement. Perfect arrangement. So we are talking about the 8.4 million bodies. The 400,000 are the human beings and the 8 million are all the trees, plants, aquatics and others. And all these living entities have soul, right? But some people, I think some Christian people, they don't believe that animals have souls. And that's the reason they give a logic why they eat why they eat meat. The animals have no souls. So we don't worry about and we cut them and eat it. But that's not true. Krishna says, Sarva yonishu kaunteya aham, Sarva yonishu kaunteya sambhavanti mutaya tesham mahad yonir brahma aham bij pradpitamaha. Aham bij pradpitamaha. Sarva yonishu kaunteya. It doesn't say only 400,000. Sarva yonishu. Sarva yonishu means all the yonis, which is 8.4 million. So I am there in all the 8.4 million species, not only 400,000 human beings. So whosoever says animals have no soul is not correct, is not true, is not supported by our scriptures. And it happens like if you animals have soul, they feel, they have consciousness, they feel pain. You beat them, they feel pain. But their consciousness is not as developed as human beings. That's true. That they don't have any intelligence. But they have soul. And they have Paramatma is also there. So Krishna says, so all the living entities, even the ants and microbes and germs, they all have souls. So tat kshetram, we have innumerable bodies. And Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so kind. He said, patram puspam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prakshati. He said, even if you give me a little patram, leaf, puspam, flower, phalam, fruits, and toyam, water, with shraddha, with faith, I will accept it. You see, animals, they follow the nature's way. The tiger, he eats flesh and blood. If you give him the fruits and vegetables, he's not going to eat it. If you give the sweet rice and gulab jamuns to, it's not going to make any difference for him. Like, he's not going to eat it. The animals, they strictly follow the diet, what is allocated, what is meant, what is designed for them. But we are the human beings. We think we can eat anything and everything. A hog eats a stool. And he's very happy eating a stool. Probably he can discriminate between good stool and bad stool and like he can have his parties. But can we eat that? No. But it's not meant for us. And what Krishna says, that patram puspam phalam toyam, He's not talking to animals. Animals are not, they can eat prasad, but they cannot worship Krishna. They can offer it to Krishna. It means what he is talking is meant for us, human beings only. And he's not saying like chicken, mutton, beef, toyam like no. The patram puspam phalam toyam. So he's talking about what the food which is meant for us, which is allocated, is designed for this body. He's talking about that food. And that's why he's talking about that if you offer that to me, an offering, you know, like you are going to eat it. That is, it's very, very important. We have our food, our body has been designed for certain kind of food, and we should try to. Animals, they don't eat our food. Why should we eat their food? We think we can eat everything like no, so. All right, I think we are. But Krishna can eat everything. Krishna is all powerful, omnipotent. Right? Krishna can eat everything, but not us. So Krishna, Prabhupada said, if we don't discriminate in eating and we can eat whatever we get, then next life we are going to get will be of a hog. We'll become a hog and we'll be eating stool. Why? Because hog does not discriminate between what is good, what is bad. He eats stool. He eats everything. If we don't discriminate between what we eat, we are going to have a body of a hog. So it's important that we should train our mind to become God conscious, and that we, so that we are transferred to the spiritual world in our next life, instead of getting the life of a cat, dog or a hog. So we are, at least in our Friday programs, we are providing this opportunity to the people, to devotees, so that they can get that shock of a potato box, get your remembrance about Krishna, and understand what he's saying, and go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Okay, so we'll do one round of chanting.